has climbed every mountain, no matter how high. He has conquered the planets from sky to sky. But there is a place where man has not been, and that's where my Lord said he's buried my sin. In the depths of the sea of God's forgetfulness, removed as the east is from west, far away from all power and principality, my sins are in the depths of the sea. Gone are the shackles, and gone are the snares. I'm free from the bondage, free from the chains. My sins are separated as darkness from dawn. Praise God, I'm forgiven. My sins are all gone. In the depths of the sea of God's forgetfulness, removed as the east is from west, far away from all power and principality, my sins are in the depths of the sea. Principality, my sins are in the depths of the sea.
Wonderful. Thank you, guys, and for the song, and what a great truth. You know, the good thing about being a Baptist with a big B is that you know you're saved. See, I was raised up in a religion that didn't teach that you could ever know that you're saved. See, you know what I did? I went to church afraid every week. Did you hear what I said? I said I went to church afraid every week. Because I didn't know whether I was going to be saved that week or lost that week. And the thing about it is, all I'm saying, the good thing about it is to know that you're saved is one of the greatest truths in the history of the world. To know that once you've been born again, born into the family of God, that you're in the family of God. Isn't it good to know that I'm not holding on to God, but He's holding on to me? Hey, listen, I tell you, if His salvation depended upon me holding on to God, I'm going to get worn out after a while. And pretty soon I'm going to say, you know what, this is not where I'm going to let go. But if God's holding on to me, He's never going to get worn out. Never going to get tired. And that's a reason, it's a wonderful thing to know that you're saved. Would you take your Bible and join me this morning, if you would, in Galatians chapter number 3. I want to talk to you a little bit about that subject this morning. Galatians chapter number 3. Now, while you're turning there, if you're not familiar with the book of Galatians, basically, when you read the few chapters of the book written to the churches of Galatia, multiple churches, but the issue being covered here is salvation of works or it is of faith. Which is it? Well, according to the scriptures, we found out that Paul nails it down pretty good. It's a faith. And so we're going to look at that in just a minute. I want to explain to you why it's a faith and how that if you're sitting here this morning and you know not Christ or you thought it was some other way and you haven't put your full faith in Christ, you can do that this morning just from these portions of scripture that we read this morning. Let's stand to our feet. Galatians chapter 3, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 6. Then we'll skip over and read one verse, which will be our text verse, verse number 16. Follow along silently as I read out. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you or taught you something contrary to what I taught you, that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now what they're probably thinking now, it's faith. Well, they're not acting like it though. It's faith. He said, were you born again? Did you get the Spirit? Did you work for it or did God give it to you? Well, we know that we got it by faith, right? When we believe. He said, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? And the answer to that is, no. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Man, he's drilling this home, isn't he? He said, is it works or faith? Is it works or faith? He said, man, he needs to pick another subject. He's mentioned that twice. Well, he's trying to drive a point home. The same one I'm going to drive home this morning, hopefully. Is it works or faith? And look what he says. Even as Abraham believed. Oh, boy, now they perked up. Abraham, top five, right? Top five in the Bible. Abraham, boy, they perked up. He said, let me tell you something, guys. Even as Abraham believed God. Didn't work. Believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now listen, lest you got mixed up somewhere, messed up by somebody, salvation of the soul has always been by grace, through faith in Christ. There has never been another way. Are you with me? I said there's never been an Old Testament way and a New Testament way. And by the way, there'll not be any different way when it comes during the tribulation or the millennium either. It's all going to be by grace through faith. And so there's one way. Why? Because we have one God who has one family, but you don't get in multiple ways. One way. All right, look at verse 16. Now, to Abraham, boy, he's sticking on the subject. Why? Because everybody perked up when he mentioned his name. And now to Abraham and his seed, singular, were the promises made. He saith not and to seeds, plural, as of many. Oh, look at this now. But as of one. Is that what your Bible says? But as of one, and to thy seed, singular, which is Christ. Now, folks, listen. Here's what I'm going to speak to you on this morning. One seed to produce one crop. One seed to produce one crop. Father, meet with us now the few moments that we have, and we ask that you'd show mercy and grace to us this morning. Teach us, we pray, Holy Spirit, from the Bible. Do your work that's far beyond anything that I can do as a human being. Would you move person to person, pew to pew, open hearts and spirits to receive the word? Give all the glory and praise to you in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, church, let me say, first of all, that when a farmer goes out to sow the seed of the crop that he desires to harvest, he sticks strictly to that seed that he wants to harvest, right? In other words, if a farmer has prepared the fields for a corn crop, then he's not going to go germinate, or he's not going to drop seed to germinate to produce wheat. He's going to drop in those furrows corn seed, right? Because that's the crop that he is planning on harvesting. And again, if it was wheat, then he'd sow the seed of wheat. But the farmer does not attempt to sow the seed of corn and the seed of wheat, listen to me, at the same time in the same field. He separates the two for a number of reasons. First of all, it's much easier to harvest, right? But secondly, he sows them to keep them separate because, listen, one of them is going to dominate the other one. And plus, if you sow corn and you sow wheat in the same field, you're going to lose a portion of that crop because it's not all going to come up. So what I'm saying to you is this. The farmer clearly understands the importance of separation. He understands the importance and the benefit of reaping the crop to harvest, and he's got to plant the right seed in the right field separate if he's going to reap the greatest crop. Now, the farmer is not going to sow five different types of seeds and expect it all to come up corn, right? Now listen, help me out now. Are you with me? He's not going to go in a field and say, you know what? I've got wheat, corn, I've got okra, glory to God. And I've got all these different seeds, and I'm going to sow them all in the same field, but bless God, they better all come up corn. Now, how foolish is that? Listen, you say, that guy's nuts if he thinks that. Listen, he's no crazier than most people today that think that, hey, we all serve the same God. We're just going different avenues to get there. I'm here to tell you, that's not the truth, folks. Just like the farmer's not trying to sow five different seeds to come up with the same crop. You see, there's one seed for one crop. And if you want corn, plant corn seed. If you want wheat, plant wheat seed. And whatever you want, that's the seed you plant. You see, no farmer in his right mind would think for the sake of conserving time or for the convenience of the harvest is a farmer going to sow seed of all different kinds. Say, listen, I want to reap corn, wheat, okra. I'm stuck on that okra. I want to reap all of these type of things. So listen, I ain't got time to go plow all these other fields, so I'm just going to take it all and just throw it all out there together. Now listen, you say, that's crazy. That man doesn't even need to be a farmer. And you're right. He probably shouldn't be. But you listen to me this morning. What's happening today, my friend, is that there is a sentiment that is permeating America today. There is a sentiment, there's an idea that we're all serving the same God. It's just that the Baptists are going the Baptist way. And the Methodists are going the Methodist way. And on and on and on. Listen to me. What I'm saying to you, folks, you can't have multiple seed and expect us to reap the same crop. I mean, I was raised in Mississippi. I'm smarter than that. I didn't graduate from the third grade for nothing. Hey, I'm just telling you today, folks, and yet people think that this is the way it is. And it's not. There's one seed for one crop. Listen, a person that believes that is unreasonable, unteachable, and unchangeable. You see, if they think that the sowing of different seeds are going to yield one crop, they're nuts. But can I say to you today, if a person thinks that you can get to heaven any way you want, just be sincere, listen, pardon my Mississippi vernacular, but you're nuts. Because that's not the way the Bible plan has laid it out. A farmer knows that. Listen, when it comes to your soul and the salvation of your soul, there is only one seed that can be planted in you to produce the desired result of eternal life and heaven. That seed we found in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, which is Christ. It is the only seed that redeems. It is the only seed that produces salvation of the lost man. It's the only seed capable of redemption. Hey, it's the only seed that contains eternal life in it. Amen. You see, I hate to hurt some feelings, but I'm going to say this to you. There is no work seed. There is no baptism seed. There is no membership seed. There is no lordship seed. There is no keeping the law seed or the Ten Commandments seed. There's only one seed, my friend. And none of these seeds that I just read to you, works, baptism, membership, lordship, keeping the law, none of these produce salvation. So why would anyone think that sowing all of these seeds would produce the same result? Why? Why would you do that? Why would a person believe that? Come on, folks. We need to get right on track here and realize the farmer's got a lot of sense. One seed, one crop. Right? He understands that, doesn't he? He understands that if he sows corn, guess what he's going to get? Corn. Because that's what he sowed the field with. That's what he's expecting to reap. Hey, folks, listen. We need to stop pretending that all seeds lead to salvation and heaven. They don't. They do not produce the same thing. And by the way, can I say this morning? Sincerity has nothing to do with it. Do you know there are a lot of sincere people that are just dead wrong? Yeah, they're sincere. They're just wrong. Hey, listen, from time to time, I'll have people knock on my door, open the door, and they'll be representing the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Mormons. And they'll be, hey, listen, these guys are as sincere as the day is long. They're just wrong. You see, what they're trying to tell me is, hey, it doesn't matter what seeds you plant, we're all going to heaven. No, we're not. Not unless that seed you're planting contains eternal life and it's called Jesus. Hey, listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. That's compassion. Doesn't have anything to do with it. Oh, yeah. See, here's what we think. Oh, look, there's tears running down their face. They must be sincere. Well, they may be. And they may be compassionate. And there are people out there like that. But folks, listen to me. It doesn't matter. If I've got corn seed in my hand and I go sow it and I expect wheat to come up, it's not happening. It doesn't matter how sincere I am. It doesn't matter how compassionate I am. Oh, I'm going to blow your mind. It doesn't matter how much faith you got. Do you hear me? I said, it doesn't matter how much faith you got. Listen, I can go out there. I can pray over that corn seed. Oh, God, turn it into okra tonight. I can speak in tongues. I can do whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. I can pray over it. I can lay over it. I can sleep on it all I want. But let me tell you something. When the time comes, you know what it's going to be? Corn. Because it doesn't matter how much faith I've got. It doesn't matter how much I water it, how much I cultivate it, how sincere I am, how compassionate I am. You see, I can sincerely plant corn seed. But for me to expect wheat to come up, I'm crazy. Amen. You see, what I'm saying is, folks, what I'm doing right now, I'm blowing in the face of most of what's being taught in America today. That's the reason that people will go online, they'll watch this and say, ah, that guy's nuts. Now, the thing about it is, they don't even know what the seed is. Now, no matter how much faith we have, how much compassion, how much prayer we invest in it, no matter how long, listen now, that we've been a farmer, corn's going to produce corn. Wheat's going to produce wheat. Glory to God, okra's going to produce okra. You see, the thing about it is, what I ought to do one of these days is just bring, because some of you don't like okra, some of you that are born north of Denton. You know, hey, when we was raised in Mississippi, people in North Mississippi, we considered them Yankees. That's just how the way they look at it. You say, man, you're deep south. Yeah, sorry. But listen, what I'm saying is, you say, but preacher, but I've been in this. I just can't believe that they're telling me that the seed that we're planting is not going to bring up. We're planting corn. We're planting a corn seed, and they're telling me that if I'll just pray and be sincere, it's going to produce wheat. It's not, folks. It's not going to produce anything but what it is. It doesn't matter how long you've been a farmer. And by the way, it doesn't matter how long you've been in that religion either. It doesn't matter how long that you've believed a lie or you've believed something that's not biblical. It doesn't matter because, listen to me, sincerity doesn't have anything to do with it. Compassion, prayer, faith. The point is, truth is truth. You see, that corn seed is going to produce corn and will never produce anything else but what it is. Now, with that said, let me give you a couple of things to think about, all right? You say, oh man, it's hot here, isn't it? It may be, but that's all right. Hey, you know what? We need to listen. We need to hear the truth, right? And we need to know that when we leave this building out here, we need to be prepared. Because you know what? Somebody's going to try to get you to buy into the fact that you can sow any seed you want, it'll all reap the same thing. You can't. It's impossible. There's only one seed for one crop. You know what the Bible said that seed is? It's Christ. That's it. Because it's the only seed that has eternal life within its being. It's the only thing that can produce eternal life. Now, with that said, several things to think about. First of all, the seed of the existence of God has been planted in every heart. Did you hear me? I said the seed of the existence of God has been planted in every heart, and you cannot deny it. So, oh, no, preacher. I work with somebody that's an atheist. No. In their heart, when they go to sleep at night, their conscience is telling them, you're not. Come on, because they can't get away with it. They've pre-programmed that way. God has put the knowledge of Himself in every being, and you cannot get rid of it. Now, you might try to put it in a box and store it in the attic somewhere. You might try to put it somewhere else out of your mind, but every soul knows that God exists. They can pretend it, that it's not, but they cannot deny the fact in their own conscience. You see, they can cling to humanistic, scientific ideas to block their thoughts out of their mind. They can say they're atheistic, agnostic, or whatever istic they want to be. But the truth is, they can't get away from the knowledge of God, because it's been instilled in them forever. You see, they can join every group they want, but you can't run from it. They can withdraw themselves from everything that has to do with God. They can separate themselves from the church, be anti-God, anti-Bible, but the fact is, they still in the heart of hearts know that God exists. And the only reason that they're claiming to be something other than that is because somebody done messed with them and messed with their thinking. And they've convinced themselves that God doesn't exist. They're convinced themselves that God doesn't live and is not alive. But let me tell you something. At the end of the day, again, their conscience still reinforces the fact that God is alive and well today. Hey, can I tell you something? That's the reason the apostle said, you know the seed that Abraham planted in his heart and it produced righteousness? He said it's the same seed that you today must plant in your heart if you're going to be born again also, because there's only one seed for one crop. Folks, listen, there's only one family, and it's called the family of God. And the only way that you're getting in is that one way. It's through Jesus Christ. So the seed of the existence of God has been planted in every heart. Now here's the second thing that you need to know. And that is, the seed of faith has been planted in every heart. Did you hear me? I said the seed of faith has been planted in every heart. Why? Because the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, folks, have you ever thought about the story of Jesus Christ? You ever thought about that? You ever thought about, here is God incarnate in human flesh? He was just as much God as He was man. First of all, that'll blow your mind right there. Have you ever thought about that He came and was born of a virgin who had never known a man? That'll blow your mind. And that He lived a perfect life and walked a perfect step and never did anything wrong? That'll blow your mind. And then here's what He's going to do. He's going to die on a cross, having never done anything wrong, convicted, crucified. That'll blow your mind. And then He goes to the grave and is buried 3 days and three nights, and then guess what? He raises Himself from the dead. And then walks around. The grave's open, and He walks around, and He's seen here and there. He's seen a 500, the Scripture says, at one time. And then, listen now, and then He meets with His disciples and says, listen, I want you to be witnesses. Go tell everybody about what you've seen and you heard. And then He gets on a cloud and ascends back to Him and sits at the right hand of God today. And then you know what He says? And then He says something like this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, thank God I'm not going to a hotel. I'm going to an individual mansion. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. But if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Listen to me. And then He says, I want you to believe in Me, and one day you can go to a place that you've never been. But it's there, because I said it was there. Have you ever thought about what it's going to take to believe that? Let me tell you what it's going to take. Faith. And it's something that you can't muster up yourself. It's something that you can't go buy at Dollar Tree. You can't go purchase it at Walmart. This is something that's going to have to come from a divine source. Now, take your Bible, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Okay? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Let me show you something here. Keep your place there in Galatians 3. Look at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. All right, are you there? Look at it. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. You'll recognize it. For by grace are you saved through... through what? And that not of yourselves. Oh my goodness, look at this. Look at this. It's the gift of God. You mean I can't go purchase it? No. Can't go earn it? No. It's not a treasure hunt that we can go find it? No. You know where it comes from? It's the gift of God. And He programmed you not only with the existence of God, but He programmed you with faith one day. And then it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. That faith, that seed that's planted in you of the existence of God, also carries with it the faith to to believe Christ. That's the reason you meet people sometimes they say, I just don't have any faith. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, everybody's got it. It's just where you choose to put it. That's what it is. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because you know what? And listen, I hate to pick on the Cowboys, but it's just part of my nature. And but you know, everybody going into the season, yeah, Romo, yeah. You know how I know that? Because about 90,000 of them walk past my house every Sunday. And you know what they got out there? They were everybody, yeah, and you know what they left? That's how they left. Come on, help me, didn't they? Yeah. What are we paying that? How much are we paying that guy? Listen, I can hear him right now talking down the street. I promise you, if I'd stood out on Collins interview, what do you think? What do you think? I can't believe we're paying these guys. But you know what? Next Sunday, you know where they'll be? Yeah! Yeah! Am I right? Yeah. Hey, what I'm saying to you is simply this. Yeah, you got faith. People got faith. It's just where are you putting it? I mean, my goodness, if people put faith in the Cowboys, couldn't somebody put a little in Jesus? At least we have a little confirmation that something's going to happen, right? At least, hey, at least we know He wins. Hey, how about that? Glory to God. Man, I'd put myself in a winner. Cowboy fans are going to leave here. That's why I like them. It's just we got a long ways to go. Now listen, God put that seed of faith in you, listen, and you're going to exercise it. And you exercise it every day. Every day of your life, you exercise faith. By the way, how many when you got up this morning cut the lights on? Cut the lights on? How many of you went to the breaker box and checked, make sure the breaker was on? Or how many unscrewed the plate and pulled it out? Screw that back on. All right, honey, now you can flip the lights on. Listen, you know what? Most of us got it this morning. We got it this morning. I don't give a rip where the electric, just the lights come on. Okay, I'm not really concerned about where the power is coming from. I just want them to come on, right? You know what that's called? That's called faith. You mean to tell me that you'll trust the energy company and you won't trust Jesus? Yeah. We have faith, and it just depends on where we put it. Listen. Most of us, when I got out in our car today, at least most of us, and we put the key in there. Oh, honey, don't turn the key just yet. Pop the hood. And went out there, pop the hood up. Everything looks fine. Hey, give me a stick. I need to check, make sure we got gas in there. Check the oil. And we did all of these things. No, most of you didn't do that. You know what you did? You got in the car, put the key in. Oh, honey, we forgot to set our clock back. Put that a U-turn. We can't be late. Everybody will think we didn't set our clock, so we'll go tonight. Hey, I'm just saying, listen, we exercise faith all the time. We exercise and we cut the lights on. We start the car. Hey, when we go to the grocery store, do the same thing. Listen, I've been to the grocery store a lot, and I try not to go in heavy traffic at times because I don't like getting pushed around beat up by women. Just kidding. But I'll go to the grocery store. You know what I see people pushing? And they're just grabbing stuff off their and throwing it down in there. You know what I want to ask them one day? Ma'am, can you stop just a minute? How do you know that there's beans in that can right there? Well, it's what the label says. Okay, but did you open it up and check it out? I can see them walk away from me, can't you? Like, there's something wrong with that dude. What's his problem? Hey, what I'm saying is, folks, listen, faith is there. It exists within you. You cannot deny it. Just like you cannot deny the existence of God. It's there. Every person that goes to bed at night, it witnesses with your conscience. He's there. And so is faith there. You see, the problem is not that we don't have faith to believe, because we do. The problem is we just don't put it in the right place when it comes to salvation. We don't put it in the right person. You see, we're talking about your eternity here. We're talking about forever and ever and ever. Then doesn't it make sense? We might want to plant the right seed. We might want to find out what the seed is that's going to produce eternal life and then put our faith in it. So think about it with me this morning. The seed of the existence of God, God planted in you. The seed of faith, God planted in you. By the way, the reason He planted the knowledge of Himself and the seed of faith in you is for a reason, folks. You know what that reason is? The reason is He's going to harvest one crop. You better be a part of that crop, because He's going to harvest only one. Now, you say, oh, preacher, we got all kinds of problems. Yeah, we do. And here's the third thing you need to understand. That's this. The seed of sin has been planted as well. The seed of sin has been planted. Listen, it wasn't planted by God. It was planted by your enemy. Look down, if you would, Galatians 3. Are you still there? Look at verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded. In other words, it's the final thing. The Scripture hath concluded all under sin. Oh, it's a dagger right in the heart, right? Because we thought we were getting there. Now the Scripture says all under sin. You say, wait a minute, where'd that seed come from? It came from your enemy. Your enemy's the devil, folks. He is not your friend. He's the enemy that has sown the seed of sin, and he desires sin to choke out the seed of the knowledge of God's existence and the knowledge of faith. And he wants circumstances over and over to happen in your life to cause you to not exercise that faith in God. Listen to me now. Romans 5:20, here it is. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now listen, more than likely, if you plant corn seed and wheat seed together, the corn's going to dominate the wheat. Okay? It is. And so what I'm saying is, you know what? Though the devil has planted other seed, I'm here to tell you that where grace or where sin abound, grace did much more abound. That seed of faith can overcome any sin known to man. You see, the seed of the knowledge of God and the seed of faith is there to combat the knowledge of sin. God says, look, I've got all these wonderful things. You've got the knowledge of me. You've got the knowledge of faith. But over here, the enemy has sown the seed of sin. He said, but you know what? We're one up on him because I've given you two things to combat it with. The knowledge of me, that I can do anything, save anybody at any point. And he says, then that faith can overcome anything that Satan puts in your heart and your mind. Listen to me this morning. Sin will make truth unclear and doctrine of no concern to people. That's what sin does. Because it gets in there and it fogs the mind. Hey, sin many times will preoccupy our minds and get us away from the grace of God and on ourselves. How many times have you done something, you know, flat wrong, it was that what you did was wrong, and you couldn't hardly work that day because you knew, golly, man, I can't believe I did that. And all day long you worked, and it just went over and over and over in your mind. Maybe when you left that, maybe husbands and wives have left that morning going to work and had a little spat or whatever, and you know, it bothered you all day long, didn't it? You couldn't hardly work, you couldn't hardly eat. You text and you were waiting there. Nothing. I love you, honey. Nothing. Or you got back the little sad face. Hey, I'm just saying, you know what sin does? It preoccupies the mind. And it gets you thinking on it instead of the faith to trust Christ. Or the faith to exercise as a believer, to trust God. Hey, sin will consume your life and remove all hope of ever being redeemed if you're not careful. Because it will occupy your mind. And if we're going to combat the seed of sin and overcome its destructive end, then we're going to have to exercise the seed of faith according to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22, where it says, but the Scripture concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Listen to this. Here's what you're going to have to do. Say, I want to exercise faith. I want to trust God. But I've got this seed in sin. All right, here's what you need to do. Believe that God loves you and wants you to be saved. Do you really believe that God actually loves you? Do you believe that? Well, the thing about it is, you may not love yourself, but I got a book that says God loves you. Now, remember, It really doesn't matter what you think about you. It matters what God thinks about you. Okay? And God said, I love you and I want you to be saved. Listen to this. Believe that Jesus is willing and able to save you. You say, but man, I've got a stockpile, preacher. You're not going to believe all the things that I've done, all the sin that I've committed. Hey, did you not hear a while ago that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound? That the grace of God is capable and able to forgive all sins. Listen now, past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. Listen, believe the seed of sin can be destroyed by the seed of Christ. Because you know what's contained in the seed of Christ? Eternal life. You know what's contained in the seed of sin? Destruction. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That means He has the ability to forgive any sin, save any person, do anything He wants in your life. Let me get you to think about one last thing, and that's this. Believe that God never intended for the seed of sin to be sown, but that the joy of man in his relationship with God be fulfilled. You know what God's whole intention was when He created man? Fellowship. That's what He wanted. That was His desire. But you know what, homie dog? If a rotten farmer didn't get in sowing rotten seed, he got in there and sowed seed in there in the crop. Man, I'm expecting corn to come up. You know what? Corn's coming up. Wheat's coming up. Okra's coming up, glory. You think, man, what happened? We don't have time to go into it. But did you know that there Jesus told a parable about the wheat and the tares? They said, Lord, didn't you? I thought you planted wheat seed. He said, I did. They said, well, there's tares. There's wheat that's coming up among the wheat. He said, the enemy. That's what he said. Did he not? He said, the enemy came in while we were asleep and sowed the seed in there. And you know what the reapers want to do? Well, let's just go rip it all up. They said, No, don't rip it up. Because by the time you start ripping the tares up, you might start ripping some people up. He said, be careful, just let it. And he says, one of these days, harvest time is going to come, and guess who's going to separate the wheat from the tares? The Lord. So stop trying to figure out who's saved and who's not saved. Just go give the gospel. You see, salvation saves you from the consequences of sin's destiny. Listen, but you must make the choice to deny yourself of sin's distress. You see, sin is still germinating today. You see, the wonderful thing is salvation is great, but can I break some news to you? Even after you get saved, can I say that the germination of sin is still in your flesh? Now, one of these days, and listen, I've been justified, I've been sanctified, which means I've been set apart, but boy, I'm telling you, I'm still looking for that glorified part, right? One of these days, that'll happen and all sin will be put away. Now listen, all I want to do is make a point this morning, and that's this. One seed to produce one crop. That's what it is. And that seed is Jesus. It's not multiple seeds, it's one seed. And if you go through that, you plant, guess what you're going to get exactly what you planted. If you're here this morning and you're a born-again child of God, Christ saved you, that one seed, that way, that truth, that life. But if you're not, you say, well, you know what? That's just your opinion. No, it's not my opinion. I just read it to you. No, it's not my opinion. It's God's Word. One seed, one crop, one God, one family, one heaven. Now here's the last thing. One choice. I want you to bow your head with me for just a moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Who can say I'm a born-again believer, preacher? No question about it. I'm saved. Won't you slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I've been born into the family of God. No question about it. I have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Wonderful. You can put your hands down. Nobody's looking but me. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Everyone in the spirit of prayer. I wonder how many would say this morning, preacher, I couldn't honestly raise my hand this morning to say that I've been born into the family of God. It's not that I don't want to go to heaven, preacher. I do want to go to heaven. I just don't know in my heart for sure that heaven is my home. And you would say, preacher, please pray for me. If I died tonight and I went off into eternity, preacher, I'm not sure that heaven is my home. And you'd say, please pray for me. With heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking. You say, preacher, that's me. Why don't you slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. God bless you. And you can slip your hands down. You can put your hand down. How many would say, preacher, that's me. That's me. Anybody else will join these two and say, preacher, if I died today, not sure that heaven's my home, pray for me. Anybody else? Anybody else will join these two? All right? Maybe you're here today and you've already been saved, but you've never been scripturally baptized. Maybe someone has talked to you about that, and you're here today to obey God in that area and say, preacher, pray for me. I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Maybe a church member came and talked to you about that and say, I need to obey God and do the right thing. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, it's me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. All right? God bless you and you. Who will join these three? You can put your hands down. Who will join these three and say, preacher, that's me. I need to obey God. I need to do the right thing. Well, my question to you then is, do you love the Lord? Do you want to represent Him? Do you want to be associated with Him? That's all baptism is. We don't get baptized to be saved. We get baptized because we're saved. And baptism is just a picture outward of what you've already done inwardly. You need to come this morning. I'm going to pray for you. You need to come and do the right thing. Last thing, I wonder how many believers are here this morning. And you say, preacher, I understand. I'm saved. I'm actively serving the Lord. But I must admit, preacher, that there are some things in my life right now I need to address. I need to address these things in my life. I'm not proud of them. There's some issues that I need the intervention of God in my life right now, today. I want you to slip your hand up. Say, preacher, pray for me. Slip your hand up. Just say, that's me. That's me. That's me. Right now. Right now. Some things in my life right now I know of I need to make right. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Father, I'm just going to ask you, please, to do your work now in this auditorium. And in this invitation, I pray that you would move as I'm praying now, Spirit of God, would you release among the people now and to go from person to person, pew to pew. Those that are saved, convict, restore this morning to full fellowship in Christ. Those who do not know Christ, that this morning that they would put their faith and trust only in you. Please, Lord, have your way and we'll give you the glory for the result. Some need to come and get baptized and at least obey you in that area. Lord, if they raise their hand at the invitation, they need to come. And do the right thing. And so please show mercy, I pray. Speak to hearts. Convict hearts, we pray. And then we'll give you the glory, Lord, for what you'll do in this invitation through the people of God and those who need to come to do the right thing. Some need to be saved. Move in a miraculous way, we pray in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask the instruments to begin to play. I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix to begin to sing, and as he sings, would you come? Listen, if you raise your hand, this is your opportunity. Come on. Come on, this is your opportunity. If you raise your hand, come on. This is it. This is the time. This is your time to move. Come on. Come on. Come on, if you raise your hand, say, preacher, I need to be baptized. This is the time to move. If you say, preacher, I need to be saved. Come on, this is your time to move. Come on. Come on, this is it. This is it. Oh, listen, if you just need prayer, come on now. We'll have someone pray with you. If you're a lady, we'll get a lady to pray with you. If you're a man, we'll get a man to pray with you. Come on.
I'll go.
This is it.
I'll follow my Christ who loves me so.
Sing it through again.
He drew me closer. I sought His will to know, and in
all right.
That will
this is your opportunity.
I now abide.
Come on, we'll wait on you.
Wherever He leads,
come on, have your way. Let God have His way. Come on.
Wherever
you just need prayer.
He leads, I go.